This is Office Hours with SIU System President Dan Mahoney, a monthly podcast that explores what's happening in and around American higher education. And now your host, SIU System President Dan Mahoney.
Welcome back to Office Hours. I'm your host, SIU System President Dan Mahoney. We're now at the start of the new school year, and this seems like a good time to discuss the primary part of the college curriculum for our incoming undergraduate students, the general education program. Our new students quickly note that many of the classes in their first 2 years are outside their major, and that naturally raises questions from them and others about what are the value of these classes. And recently, I've noticed this is receiving more attention and questions than in the past, particularly as more has become focused on the value of the higher education experience for being career preparation. Now, I believe based on many years of personal experience, as well as seeing students in my own class over the last 30 plus years, that the general education program has great value to students. But I'm not really sure we explain that very well. So to help us explore why these courses matter and how the universities are consistently rethinking them, we're joined by three outstanding faculty members from across the SIU system. So we have Jeff Punsky, who joins us from SIU Carbondale. He directs the university core curriculum and brings expertise in linguistics. And as we were discussing before, that was my wife's major, so it has a special place in my heart. Matt Shunke and Jessica Despain are from SIU Edwardsville. And Matt is an associate professor of philosophy, and Jessica is a professor of English and co-director of the Iris Center for the Digital Humanities. So welcome, everybody, and let's get started. So, Jeff, I'm going to start with you. Could you please share a little bit about the history of general education in higher education?
Sure. I think, you know, it's easier to actually think about the history of higher education more broadly. When we think about higher education, we often think about academic majors, academic specializations and things like that. But in this, like the scheme of higher education, that's actually relatively new. So general education used to be education. So if you go back to, you know, the system that we're built out of in ancient Greece, the academy would have been a general education forum where you learned about all subjects. The same would have been true up through the Middle Ages and up until really the late 19th century in even American institutions. The focus was on sort of general education, and this idea of sort of micro specialization doesn't really emerge until the 19th century, late 19th century at that. Once we started introducing that, then we started to also have to say, like, wait, but there was all this important stuff that is getting left out when we do these, when we specialize so much. And so we've, over the course of the 20th and now the 21st century, we've seen a lot of attempts to sort of recreate some of the things that we were doing well a few centuries before.
Yeah, I think it's a good description of kind of that history, and I don't think most people understand that. I talk about this actually in my class. I teach on college athletics, but you have to understand the university to understand athletics in that context. And I think it was like the 1820s, Yale's purpose was the study of impractical and abstract work. So it was specifically not career preparation. It was really about broadening their mind and creating flexible thinkers, I think is one of the terms they used.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, I forget which institution it is, maybe the University of Virginia, it mm-hmm. didn't introduce the idea of a major until about 1870, 1875. Mm-hmm. So really, it's a long span of history that we haven't been focused on this idea of specialization.
Anything else anybody wants to add?
I was just thinking about in the 20th century that there's been this constant push and pull between the idea of distribution requirements, that there are these check boxes right. students must fulfill in all kinds of different areas versus some kind of core education where we decide students have a holistic experience together, where they're thinking about a set of issues in concert as opposed to thinking about, oh, here's your history class and here's your English class and how that's still at tension and still an issue and has changed probably every 20 years throughout this.
Not more. Yeah. And now it's just a hodgepodge. You know, we kind of are trying to do both, I think, at a lot of institutions, the distributional model and also this idea of building these essential skills. And, you know, sometimes that tension is really hard to navigate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't we talk a little bit about the primary goals of general education in general, but also specifically at your university? And I don't know, Matt, if you want to start off.
I think in general, right, I think it goes back to some of these older notions, right, of cultivating a sort of person and that there are aspects of, right, civic engagement with that. There's different forms of appreciation. also understanding that knowledge develops and is formed in different disciplines in different ways. And so I think it's an opportunity for students to encounter the broad array of what the university does and how a culture or society produces knowledge, and to have some sense that, right, I have this area of specialization in the sort of model that we have now, which is very major centric, mm-hmm. right, that I have this right area where I'm specializing, but I should also have these other attributes that are more sort of generic or universal for all students. And so I think if you look at universities and look at objectives for undergraduate education, they're going to have oftentimes a mix of both those things, that there is either a specialization or a career preparation, but then also that we are doing, right, preparing people to go out into the world to be citizens and members of a society.
You want to add anything on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sort of building on that. I think, you mm-hmm. know, when we think about these majors and we think about, you know, the career preparedness and things like that, universities aren't really well equipped to do like specific career training. Mm-hmm. We do it, you know, very well for those entry level positions, but the course of someone's career, things are going to change so much. So mm-hmm. if we train someone on a particular technology or a particular method, that's not going to be the method that's used in 10 or 15 years. But what is going to be used is the ability to adapt, to be creative, to communicate, to ask good questions. And that's really where that foundational knowledge that is the mm-hmm. general education program really sort of sets people up for, again, the essential skills that one needs to be successful. And not just in career, in life, as you said.
Yeah.
I think that's the part that we struggle to articulate for mm-hmm. students. So they still think of it as a series of checkboxes. And they imagine the career at the end. And the career is the thing that they are driving toward. And so trying to find a way to communicate to students what the worth of those classes are outside of those checkboxes has been a big struggle. And Matt and I have been thinking a lot about that here at SIUE. We've been working on a program called Changemakers. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind Changemakers is essentially that it helps students articulate how all those courses might matter to them to cultivate the kinds of experiences they want mm-hmm. when they're trying to think about the life they want for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Michigan Tech do something really interesting, very similar to that, where they worked with employers and local business leaders and had them talk about the skills that the students mm-hmm. were getting in these general education classes and why those are so essential for them going forward. And I'm trying to get my campus to do that. And I think it's system-wide. Yeah. It's something we should think about.
And it's interesting because when you have those conversations, a lot of times what you see is it's the general education piece that the mm-hmm. employers are oftentimes very interested in. And so when I talk to students sometimes, I say, you're going to be one of X number of biology majors at SIUE, right? The general education piece is where you can take some stuff that might help to set you apart from these other biology majors or right, and have a different set of skills potentially that just differentiates you from even right the students here and then also in a larger pool. So I think sometimes we think very much like major is the career training mm-hmm. and gen ed mm-hmm. is something else. But I think that they oftentimes work more closely together. I also think, right, I'm in my, I guess, late 40s now. And I can look at my peers at my age mm-hmm. And see the career paths they've taken. And the linear career path is the rare one. Like my mm-hmm. path is much more linear than most people's yes. in that I've had like this job for a fairly mm-hmm. long time now. And right, my family members, my friends like bounce around and oftentimes are in industries that right either didn't exist or they had no idea existed when they were undergrad, but they through various circumstances ended up in a spot and they're now utilizing these right, general learning skills that you develop in your gen ed courses. So,
yeah, no. And I was thinking about that, a few things kind of came to my mind is one is the number of times when we ask employers what skills they want from students, it's rarely related specifically to the major. It's almost never, I was an accounting major as an undergrad. Mm-hmm. It's almost never, they don't understand the tax law well enough, or they don't understand auditing principles. It's usually their communication skills need improvement, like their critical thinking. It's those types of things which often come from the general education program. And in fact, I always remember when I was an auditor after college, I got moved on to an audit because the person who was doing that was at my level, didn't do well. And I was like, all right, what did he do badly so I can learn from that? And I was like, he didn't write well. And I don't think anybody would have guessed that somebody in accounting, that their lack of writing skills would have been the thing that would have differentiated them in a negative way. And I was always very appreciative at Virginia Tech, where we actually had to take 2.5 years of English classes as an accounting major, as well as sociology and all these other classes that helped develop my writing skills, which I say was beneficial, not just when I was an accountant, but I've now published like 70 things, and writing became a big part of my life in a way I never predicted. So back to your point, it doesn't always follow a very clear career path. I never expected to write as part of my career. I just didn't think that was going to happen, but that very much happened. And I felt better prepared because of those great English teachers that I had and sociology teachers and others who really helped me work on my writing skills, which got much better, I think, during the time I was there.
Yeah.
So I think those are some really good examples. And we talked a little bit about this. So I'm going to move to this question. What are some of the positive outcomes that might come from general education courses that may surprise some people relative to its usefulness?
Everyone's turning to me, so I guess I'll start answering. So I think there's a couple of different things. I mean, obviously what we just talked about, this idea that we're developing these essential skills that are going to allow someone to have that additional employability, marketability, and ability to sort of remain in the career force and advance in the career force in a way that they wouldn't otherwise if they didn't have this sort of robust general education. You know, but I think when we talked a little bit about that distributional model, it also gives folks an opportunity to explore new majors, new things that they might be interested in and things that they frankly have never heard of. We were talking before we started about both your wife and I had the same experience that we didn't know what linguistics was before coming to our universities and discovered it there. I think many people may not even know, may have heard of sociology, but may not know what it really is. Might have a really weird preconception about what philosophy is. And then when they get into these classes, get some exposure to some of these ideas and maybe say, hey, this is something I can explore a little further. Maybe I'm not going to try to be a career philosopher, but maybe I want to minor in that while also taking accounting because that's something that's really interesting to me and will give me that sort of, again, that whole life experience. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking a lot about, so I direct the Community-Oriented Digital Engagement Scholars Program, CODES. It's a general education pathway for students. They work with community partners, and from the moment they arrive on campus, they're doing some really hard things. They're talking in front of large audiences. They're getting feedback from community partners and changing their ideas. But watching that program evolve and watching the students in it has taught me a lot about how students need to learn about active listening and collaboration and that these classes are the places where some of that work happens and that those are lifelong skills that you can only get through very specific kinds of practice because it's easy to dismiss people if you're having an argument with them or if you just don't agree with how they do things. But at least in CODE, students work together for over the course of 2 years. So if things aren't working one semester, they're going to see them again next semester and they're going to have to keep struggling with those issues. But I think those things happen in a lot of general education courses because so often they're teaching students how to think through really complex problems and systems too.
Yeah, and I think there's also just a way in which can often be sense-making courses, I would call them, right? That like, oh, this is something I've had a vague understanding of, or I've had this sort of inkling of, and now I have some language or some terms or a mode of thinking that I didn't have before to sort of map onto it and to make some sense out of it and to see something that like I've felt but I haven't been able to describe. Right, that this philosophy course or this English course gave me a sense of like, oh, I now know why that poem resonated with me. And I didn't know, I didn't have the terms, but they've given me some terms. And so it's just as a someone who's right is sort of a professional student and loves moments like that. I think Gen Ed is the place where you get to experience that a lot, because it's not the stuff you know really well, but it's just an opening up of new spaces for you to do thinking.
I think also the diversity in the classroom, and what I mean by that is the diversity of the different perspectives and interests that the students have, which is something that we tend to lose as we move into the more specialized areas, where the students become a little bit more similar in the ways that they approach problems, the way that they think about things, because of the way we're training them. But in those early gen ed classes, you have a student who knows they want to be a biologist, with a student that knows they want to be an accountant, with a student that knows they want to be a poet. And we don't find that in a lot of other spaces, but knowing how to navigate that is also a really essential skill.
And the collaboration that can emerge from there.
Yeah.
I have just a really quick, one of my favorite teaching stories ever, but I was teaching world religions, general education course, and we were studying Islam, and we were talking about the rituals that happen on the Hajj. And there's one ritual where you go along a path and you pick up some small pebbles and then you throw them at a column. And this is sort of a reenactment of an ancient story. And I had a student in there who was a construction management major. And we watched a video where this happened, and he raised his hand and he said, "What do they do with all the gravel?" And I was like, I never have thought of this question. it's like a really simple example of this, like his construction management mind came to bear on this, right, issue in a way. And like, it's a small example, which is a really fun story. But it shows the potential for, like, he's going to have a different approach to thinking through this than I did as a professor, and that most of the students in the classroom did, because he's, right, in everyday life thinking about, like, managing a construction site. And so it was really a fun case of that.
No, and it's interesting. I hadn't thought about that as much, the diversity of students and the coming from those different perspectives, which, again, I got much more in my general ed. Than I did later in my major. And I still teach in the honors program, which has that same type of bringing people together. And I had an assignment last year where it's like some of the responses they had were just incredible. And these were nursing, early childhood, like no one who had any background in sports management or understanding college athletics, but they were able to bring a different perspective. And I was like, some of it was just great. I never enjoyed reading some of the papers as much as I did those. So that is another value. You know, one of the things, too, there's a lot of talk about civics education, preparing students to participate in a civil society. How do you see general education helping with that preparation? Jessica, do you want to start this one?
Sure. you know, it's interesting because CODES is a program where we're working with community partners, and we're essentially doing that kind of work. But I try to avoid that word because I think it's a word that's not inclusive of all students. When I think about international students, students who are undocumented, sometimes citizenship is not the thing that they can strive toward, but that doesn't mean they can't participate in really meaningful ways. And so to me, it kind of goes back to that active listening piece. But I was also thinking about one of my favorite gen ed courses to teach in the English department, which is 211 American Literature to 1865. And what I always liked about teaching that course is that we were covering this huge trajectory across American history. But through the process, students got to think about specific people and how they dealt with the very same issues we're dealing with now. And so it allowed them to understand that whatever journey they're on in terms of understanding their relationship to the world and what they can do with it and in it, other people had done that already and faced some of the same things they did, which is both empowering and comforting and also really troubling, right? And I think that's one of the most important lessons for civics.
I think also building off of that and all what we just talked about in the terms of the diversity of perspectives that one gets in that the general education classroom, that's a really good model for engaging in disagreement. Learning how to navigate folks that have a perspective that's different than yours, which I think is, you know, as we look, the world is becoming more polarized, but particularly this country is in a particular state of sort of heightened polarization and folks kind of just navigating themselves towards reinforcement of their held opinions, that developing these dispositions for both curiosity and engagement, and also sort of ethical, the ethical framework that the general education also tries to instill in students, I think really is a way of sort of advancing that civic mission as well, under the same sort of pretext of like, for all, you know, not just in terms of this, of where a given student is, but
I also think, right, when we talk about these issues, we're often talking about very complex problems that are, right, sometimes we call them wicked problems, right? They aren't going to have a clear solution. We're often having to talk about different trade-offs and weighing out, right, good goods and bad bads and competing goods, competing bads. And that to understand the problem requires, right, being able to see, understand, right, a scientific perspective and also a sociological perspective on like, right. I mean, we can look at so much of our discourse, right, about COVID, about health right now, right. It's centered on, it's not just science. It is very science, right. There's a lot of science behind it, but then it's also, okay, what about the history and sociology of science that's made it, misunderstood, made it, hasn't welcomed certain people into the fold or hasn't examined certain issues. And so those are complex problems that you can't just tackle from within one field. You have to have at least some sense of, right, again, knowledge making in different areas and to understand the dynamics with those.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you bring up COVID because I've often mentioned that for me personally, trying to manage as a university leader through that, having to bring all these different perspectives. And while I'm not a sociologist but I did think a little bit about from that sociological perspective. And so I was trying to do all of that. While also, I think one of the things I learned was the limitations of my own understanding. And so going to people in certain areas who have greater expertise than I did. So I know enough to understand what they're saying, but not know what they know and realize that there was value in what they knew. And so I think it helped me to have all of that when I was managing through it. So I think that's a particularly good example. When you have new faculty coming in, Jeff, I'll start with you on this one. What advice do you give faculty about teaching in the general education program?
So I think the best advice I've heard, this is advice I've received, is just to be as curious as your students. Because the reason students are excited to take these classes are, you know, getting back to this sense making that Matt was talking about earlier, that they're subject areas that these students maybe have not had an opportunity to explore in their previous academic experiences. And so now they get to ask these new questions. And so by giving the students the space for that curiosity and using that as the means of sort of driving forward, I think that's the best way to engage the students and also really sort of tap into these essential skills that we've been talking about.
Yeah. I thought about this from two might sound opposing ways, but one is show them why you're passionate about it, why it matters to you. But then also allow them to explore it in ways that aren't your ways. And I think, right. So trying to think of ways to say, this is why I get excited about this. But then saying like, is there a way I can open that up to them exploring it through their own interest and things that they like, and try to bring that into the fold too.
I have been thinking a lot about, because I'm working a lot with faculty who are teaching with first year students the first time and the struggles that they have. I've been thinking a lot about that. And part of the advice I give them is to imagine where you would start and then maybe start three steps even earlier than where you thought you should start in terms of realizing that students are enthusiastic and they want to learn, but they need a place where they feel excited about entering. And also that they're 18. And if you can put yourself into the position of being 18, you didn't know a lot and you didn't always make good choices. So allow for that and really be empathetic to who they are and what they're going through at that moment. Is a very unique period of your life.
But if you were like me when you were 18, you thought you knew a lot. You thought you knew everything. So that also adds that additional challenge where you are very convinced of your own of your own knowledge, but maybe so some of that receptiveness is also can be a little lacking at times.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. I did teach in the general education program at one point early in my career. I taught a sociology of sport class, which was one of those check boxes and one of those categories. And to me, I always thought about the best advice someone came to me is it's less about sport. It's more about them understanding those sociological principles. It's more about developing their critical thinking skills. It's more about developing, like, that's really what your goal is. If they come away having a better understanding of sports, that's great. But it was, there's other things that was really the more critical thing. But it was also interesting, too, is sports naturally gets people excited. So I had the advantage. It's like, so it's like take advantage of what their natural excitement and interest is and build on that. So,
yeah, that actually is kind of repeats something that I tell my faculty, which is that the content area is the vessel for the essential skills that we're trying to get in the general education program. Mm. But that's not really the important thing for the general education. It's getting the skills going. Yeah, we want them to learn a little bit about philosophy, sports, but that's not what the goal is.
Mm-hmm. Now, take it another way. Talk about the incoming students. What advice do you give to them? And we were talking about a little bit of this before before they enroll and participate in the general education program.
So, you know, I think for them, it's also be open and be receptive. Mm-hmm. You know, again, understanding that receptiveness is different for an 18-year-old than it is for someone even who is completing their college career and is a little bit more, has opened up a little bit more, but that to explore that natural curiosity, ask questions and be engaged, and really take full advantage of this opportunity to explore questions that you're really not going to get another great opportunity. Most of us will never get another great opportunity like this to have an expert in the room with you, willing to sit down and really probe and try to answer questions with you.
We've actually this year read a book called Hacking College, and it talks about the blank spaces in the curriculum, which is oftentimes the space where you can choose a class, and that too often students just slot something in there without thinking about what it is. And so one of my big messages to incoming students is take ownership of that, right? Think about, you have this opportunity to potentially take a class on what's of interest to you. Like when I was an undergrad, there was a class on Dante's Inferno, and that just sounded like something like, this is my one chance to probably read this because I'm not going to read it on my own probably. And so finding the what are you interested in that you might be able to explore? And then also taking some time to know what the gen ed program is, right? Mm-hmm. What are the requirements? And where might you find it? How does your major fit into that? And so that you can have be an advocate for yourself, and also that you don't just have these sort of meaningless classes, but you have sort of a chance to structure it such that you're getting what you want out of it.
I want to add to Matt's ownership point, because that's something I talk about with students all the time. Mm-hmm. But I think it also extends to the amount of reflection they're doing in a particular class. So they might think, oh, this general education class I have to take is not that important. I will use it as a checkbox. But what happens if they go in and say from the beginning, here's what I want to get out of this class. Here's why I'm here. Here are the goals I have for myself. How am I going to organize my semester so that I can get that out of it, so that they're in charge? It's not just something that's happening to them. And then also that they take the time to articulate then what did they get out of it, so that later when they're on a job interview or later in their life, they can look back and say, okay, here are the actual experiences I have, and be able to articulate some of that.
Yeah, no, I think the idea of, again, a couple of things you all talked about, being able to explore, I think, is really a big part of the general education program. And like I say, not just looking for one that I can take to check that box, but something that might be of interest to me. I used to do that a lot. I advised a lot of students early in my career and used to tell them, don't just pick one from the group. Like, look at something that's like, this sounds interesting to me. I mean, do that.
Or the one that's post 11 a.m. in the morning.
Right, exactly.
Well, for some students, that can be really vital. Yeah. You know, I don't want to discourage a student. You know, if a student knows that they're not going to get up for that 8 a.m. class, let's not even if it's super interesting.
Yeah, it always reminds me of a student I had who used to come in late every year to register for classes and tell me he could only take classes between 10 and 2. I'm like, Joe, you're killing me. but the other thing I would say, too, is, and we talked about this a little before we got here, but the idea that you might find something that is of great interest. And I always use my sister as an example, who was a hotel and restaurant management major, but her favorite class was Introduction to Psychology, and she just retired as a school psychologist last year. She left hotel. She did that for a few years, but then she went back, got her master's, and did that. But that class always stuck in her head. Like, she did better than that class than any other one. She enjoyed it more, and she kind of came back to it later in her life, and again, had a 30-year career.
Can I pick up on
that? Yeah, absolutely.
Also to students, I would say, if you find something you enjoy and you're good at, latch onto that and don't, like, especially the good at part, and just recognize that, like, that can be a way to make college more enjoyable, and it's okay to do something you're good at. Because sometimes I think students look at, like, oh, this is the right major, and, like, gen ed is a chance to tie it into our topic, right? A chance to find some of that. But you might find that, like, oh, I'm really quite good at philosophy, and that means that I can find this major and I can excel at it and develop some skills, and that I'll learn how to interpret it to an employer or something like that.
So there's certainly some challenges facing general education today, and in its future. What do you see some of those challenges being, and how do we deal with some of those challenges? And I don't know who wants to start off with that one.
I'll start.
Matt, you'll start? Okay.
We've circled around it a little bit, but I think that the mindset we have about university, that it is degree to career, and that you have to find the direct correlation between the right degree and a career. And that's a very narrow picture of what we do, and also a very narrow picture of what the career is, because a lot of times that's a career that is 5 years, and then it leads to a different need to go back to school, or a different skill set, or learning something else. And so I think when we think in those direct sort of correspondence terms, we're really limiting what the university does. And also, I think it puts a ton of pressure on students to feel like they have to make the right choice with major, as opposed to recognizing that they're developing a set of skills that will serve them down the line. I mean, I'm just sort of actually thinking about you, right? Of, like, you've told us this story of, like, I've done accountant to advisor to now, right? And now you're a president of a system. And it's like that, but that's not an uncommon story, right? That as you go through your GPA and your major is not going to be what's the thing that you're going to talk about. You're going to talk about the experiences you had that led you from there to where you are now.
And I always say my preparation as an accountant was great, but if they had done only that, they would have failed me in the long term, because I only lasted 13 months as an accountant. I was not meant to be an auditor. It wasn't the right field for me, but the more broad education that I had allowed me to find some other, a different career path for me, which was a better fit. But I never regretted the major because, again, I was well prepared in that, and it's been beneficial to me as well.
And it's not a failure.
No.
Like, the fact that you aren't an accountant for the whole career is not a failure of that degree, because it, again, because you had more than just that.
I will say, too, that I understand, especially at a school like SIUE that's really focused on students' social mobility, that their parents are putting in a lot, and the students too, a lot of payment and a lot of time and effort to get this degree. And it's a big ask of them, and they are doing it in the hopes that it will pay off. And so it's really easy for them to say, you're going to be a nursing major. And you're going to be the first person in our family to do that thing. And I'm a first generation college student myself, so I understand that pressure. But I think what you don't realize is that you can't be a good nurse if you haven't developed emotional intelligence and you haven't been able to problem solve or collaborate. All those things that come from gen ed that you wouldn't get if you just went through a nursing program for those 3 years.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're seeing some of the real existential threats to the idea of general education in the emergence of these proposed 3-year programs that seem to just want to just essentially chop off the general education experience. We've already also seen that employers don't value those. They don't treat them the same as a degree. They treat them as an advanced associates, essentially, because they're missing those essential skills. And I think that's the place that we as educators and as members of university communities need to get better at articulating to both external stakeholders and to the students and to parents that the general education is vital to your long-term happiness and success. That is really what is going to give you all that toolkit to advance and adapt and do all of the different things that you're going to need to do throughout, you know, most of your life.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and I totally agree with you. I understand it. And I think it's, and I sometimes feel this way with my kids too. It's like, I want it to be an exact science. That it's very clear yes. that if you do this, you do this, yes. you do yeah. this.
You'll
be successful. And there'll be no divergence from that. And that's just not the reality for most people. It's an inexact science. Mm-hmm. But we know historically, and my example, my sisters, you know, other family members, my wife, others, that to get to a place of being successful, it really is kind of all these things together. And it's not just the career preparation and the major. It was the gen eds. It was the other parts of our college experience as well that all contributed in different ways. It's just harder to say, well, if you do this, then it will lead to that.
And I think this is right. We have very binary thinking on this.
Yeah.
Like it's career preparation or it's like
right, yeah,
it's
yeah.
more holistic, like cultivation of the person, education. Yeah. And we don't have to think about those as distinct from each other, that mm-hmm. they actually work really well together.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be thinking of like, I have to choose one or the other.
Right. So I want to finish up with the last question is just, we've been talking about general education classes. What was your favorite general education class and why?
Not algebra.
Okay.
I loved psychology.
Okay.
And astronomy and history.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about this, and it was religious studies ADC, which was mm-hmm. a gen ed class when I took it. But it was the class where I read for the first time. We read Luther, we read Descartes, and we read Nietzsche. And it mm-hmm. was opened up. Answered a lot of questions I had, and then all of a sudden I was 2 years later a religious studies major, and it was right. And now I'm a right professor of philosophy of religion, and mm-hmm. and here, and it's I can link it back to that class that I took my freshman year.
I also did not enjoy algebra. I was one of those freshmen that was like, oh well, I had to get up so early in high school, so an 8 a.m. class should be nothing, and. Yeah. That is not the case when you don't have your mom waking you up and saying it's time to go to school. So I missed way too many of my algebra classes. But I took a class on French existential literature.
Oh, nice.
And I did not major in French. Didn't, you know, but it was just such an interesting class because we were focused on this very particular moment in history of, and a group that I knew nothing about going into this class, but we read such interesting texts. We had really interesting conversations. Everyone in the room was an absolute novice except for the professor. And so it was just a really dynamic and interesting class. And that's kind of the model I would love to see more of our general education classes. And, you know, what I've tried to do when I have opportunity to teach them as well is kind of, again, enhance that curiosity.
Yeah, I think for me, psychology was definitely one of them. I enjoyed that class quite a bit, which again was interesting later in life because a lot of my research is social psychology based. And so I kind of ended up using that to some degree later. There was also a Civil War history class that I took, which was really interesting. And I always tell the story is a couple years after I took it, the guy who taught the class was introducing the new athletic director. I was going to see that introduction. And I'm sitting in the middle of the row, and all of a sudden he starts his lecture on Stonewall Jackson. I'm like, oh, I remember this one. I'm staying. So it's like I stayed for a class that I was not enrolled in to hear a lecture I'd already heard before, but it was that interesting to me. And so I found, again, there were several others like that where I really did enjoy learning from those professors mm-hmm. And exploring new topics or exploring the same topic twice.
Yeah.
So anyways, well, I want to thank you all for being here today and talking a little bit about general education and for being our guests on today's show. And hopefully today's discussion helped our audience understand general education a little bit better, what students learn, how it helps them think critically, adapt to life after college as well, and that the skills they get actually are very career focused in many ways. So as we wrap up this episode, I want to acknowledge our production team on the Office Hours podcast, including Jason Church at WSIE Radio here on the SIUE campus. And last but certainly not least, we are thankful to all of you, our listeners, for spending part of your day with us. Thank you very much.
Be sure to join us next time on Office Hours for further conversation with the people who work in and study higher education. Special thanks to Kara Baldus Merriman and Daniel Merriman for the use of their composition Writer's Block as the Office Hours theme song. And thank you for listening to Office Hours with SIU System President Dan Mahoney.